Proverbs chapter 23 and look at verse 24. We'll read verse 24, 25, and 26. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 23, and we'll begin in verse number 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for the instruction that we find in the book of Proverbs. And Lord, this is the book of wisdom, Lord. This is where we go so that we can understand, Lord, how you created us. We can understand the heart and mind of God. And Lord, it's just a book full of practical, good advice. Every area of our life, every arena of our life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we continue teaching on this matter of instilling wisdom, filling our children with wisdom, that you'll help us, Lord, to rightly divide the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to do a quick review because it has been a couple of Sunday nights since we have been teaching on this. We're teaching on the childhood years of Jesus Christ. We've identified six distinct attributes of Jesus Christ that was ingrained in him by the time he was 12 years of age. So if you have children under 12, these six attributes ought to be the goal that you want to have already in them, solid, rock solid, by the time they're 12 years of age. If you accomplish that, you're going to find out that the teenage years are a lot easier with your young people. We first of all said this, just quick review. Every child is born simple and every child is born foolish. That's what we get. They're simple because that simply means that they're untaught. And they are foolish because they have, on top of that, a built-in sin nature, a falling Adamic nature that is just a part of them. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so a child does not come born wise. They come born simple, and they have a bent towards foolishness. And so we'll define that in just a second. So our job as parents is to eliminate our child's simplicity and foolishness, to replace these things with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And that sounds like a sensible goal, reasonable goal. It's not always an easy goal to achieve, but it can be done through consistency. I remember my dad many, many times, even when we were raising our own children, and listening to him encourage other parents and say this, and I've said it to a lot of our young couples. I've just repeated my dad's advice. I said, listen to me. I know you're going to go through tough patches with him, but consistency wins out. Consistency wins out, all right? Keep the right spirit. Be prayerful in what you're doing. Be planned in what you're doing. Be scriptural in what you're doing. But most of all, be consistent in those things, and consistency will win out. And so that's how Jerry Ross was born, kids. I was no different than you were. Okay, every child starts out that way. Your parents were born into the world the same way. And so that's just how we come into the world. And then we talked about the simple and the foolish and the wise. A simple child is ignorant of Bible commands and principles. They just don't know the Bible. And how sad that is, that the vast majority of young people are being raised with little or no exposure to the principles of God's word. I'm going to stop and say it again. I plug the bus ministry every time I can. Why is it so important? Because for some of these kids that are coming through the door, it's the only chance they've got. And the things that we're putting in them, even if we have them for just 2, 3, 4 years, they move, they go somewhere else. Every Sunday school lesson, every verse they memorize in Bible club or in a children's church or primary church, it's in there. It gives God something to work with, you see. And then what an advantage, young people, for those of you that were born into Christian homes and your mom and dad are bringing you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they have you here, not just something you hear once a week in Sunday school because you came on a bus, but something that is also present in your home and taught in your home. And what an advantage you have. Don't ever walk around playing the poor me victim card. I was born and raised in a Christian family, and oh woe's me. Internet's full of those fools. And listen, when I use the word fool, I know the biblical definition of it. It's full of those fools. that were raised biblically but turned away from that, because a foolish child, when taught the Bible commands and principles, chooses to ignore them or directly disobeys them, turns his back on them. A wise child hears, learns, and obeys the commands and principles of God's word. And so we'll talk more about that in just a second. So we talk about this idea of the steps of the ladder. And first of all, proper evaluation, understanding what where your children are in this, and then as a parent, sitting down and breaking down each child. And I think moms, dads, this is a good conversation sometime. Put the kid to bed, sit down and say, hey, let's walk through each of our children, let's take a look at this matter of their response to commands, their response in this matter of obedience. Is there resistance to it? Is there foolish tendencies as they're identified by the scripture? And if there are, what do we need to do to double down so that we make sure that that does not find a firm place in their lives going forward, okay? And then pointed prayer. Listen, I love that. I love what Brother Wood said this morning. You know what? It seems like anything that succeeds, the first step is always the same. Pray. You know, first thing he said, okay, Jesus saw the multitude scattered, you know, as sheep having no shepherd. What's the first thing he said to do? Pray. And I want to say this, things can be accomplished through prayer, folks, that is not going to be accomplished through punishment. I'm just telling you, things will be accomplished through prayer. We're going to talk about punishment and the proper way to punish and all of those things tonight. But I promise you, prayer is so important. I cannot stress enough the importance of moms and dads praying for their children. And you know what? Not only praying for their children, but praying with their children. And we'll talk about some more about that. Then parental modeling. We talked about that. I'm going to review it. We need to make sure that we're being wise in our response to the Bible. And then patient instruction. Now, there's two things we got to eliminate. We got to eliminate simplicity. We got to eliminate foolishness, okay? Those are two separate things. Okay, sometimes if we're not careful, we are using correction to fix simplicity. Folks, simplicity is not solved through correction. Simplicity is solved through the teaching and the training. That's in the next two steps. Why do we teach? Why do we train? Because we're removing simplicity. So verbal instruction, also hands-on training, allows the child to then know what to do, know what you expect. And I'll say more about this in a minute. But when we get into the correction aspect, you need to have discernment. Did the child not do what you asked them to do because they don't know how to do it? Well, I showed them once. Okay, once. You know, folks, listen to me. When you're dealing with children of certain ages, there you can show them. They can do it right one day, 2 days later. You know what? I'm sorry they slept since then. And sometimes, if we're not careful, every time they don't do it, when we say it, how we say it, you need to have discernment to say, do I need to stop and reteach and retrain, or do they really understand it and know how to do it and have proven that they can do that multiple times and now it's just defiance? And so simplicity is fixed in a way that foolishness is not, because they're two totally separate things. It's not defiance if a kid just looks at you deer in the headlight and has no idea what you're trying to get them to do, okay? And again, there's repetitions, the key to learning. You're not going to teach them one time, train them one time, then they got it. But I think that if you're not careful, watch this, once you've taught and trained, I would err on the side of I'm going to assume this is simplicity until I've gone over to the point where I know that they know. And also, folks, listen to me. You can discern a lot by their eye gates. You can discern a lot by their stance. You can discern a lot by whether or not they're taking a rebellious pose, by the look on their face. That, you know, nobody's going to know your kids like you do. And you know what? It wasn't hard for us most of the time to decide whether or not this kid's looking at us like, I really don't know what you're wanting me to do, or I'm just not going to do it. And those are two separate things. If it's simplicity, teach and train. Okay, reteach, retrain. Reteach, retrain. Make sure that you get it solid. And then if it becomes defiance, then all of a sudden now, watch this, they can't claim simplicity through teaching and training. You have shown them wisdom. You've shown them, given them knowledge, understanding, wisdom to do it. Now, if they just choose not to, that is an act of foolishness. And you can't let that slide. And we'll talk about how to deal with that, okay? And so remember that parental modeling followed by patient instruction and practical training will help remove the simplicity. Now, I'm kind of fast-forwarding. Then we talked about practical training, praise, and reward. And I think one of the things that as you're doing the training, the teaching and training, you know what's really going to lock that in? Teaching and training, them succeeding at doing it, following instruction, man, that ought to be reward heavy. You know, I just think you ought to create an atmosphere in your home that it's almost a no-brainer for your kids to want to do the right thing. You know why? Because if I do the right thing, there's so much reward, and mom is happy, and praise and encouragement, and all of us like praise. God made us that way so that children respond in a very positive way. So I would front load that teaching, training, always make sure there's rewards involved as they accomplish. You know, as you're teaching your kids the basics, you know, they get the age where they're old enough to make their bed in the morning. You know, I've seen my wife at times during times of their lives put up charts with stickers and you know what? Here's the four jobs you got to do before breakfast every morning. And when you do, you get to put a sticker on there. I don't know what it is. But stickers are magic, folks. I'm just, come on, Sunday school teachers. There's something you can get. Sometimes you can get kids to do stuff for a simple sticker that you can't get them to do it with everything else. And so, you know, just again, according to age, their age level, their abilities, train them to do it. That means, you know what, you're not going to tell them once and then they're going to do those four things. That means you have to get up and go in there and get them up. Let them go to the restroom, come back. Now I'm going to walk you through the four things. You may have to do this for a month with them every preacher. That's a lot of work. Yeah, welcome to child rearing. It's a lot of work. But you know what? When they get to the point where all of a sudden you go up to get them and they're already sitting there in their room with a smile on their face and all four things are done. And they're like, look what I did, Mom. And then that's a big deal. That ought to be a big deal. I mean, come on, I think that's worth a trip to Dairy Queen or something, you know, come on. I mean, you know, that's a big deal. When they begin to show initiative, when it's not just, you know what, I'm doing this because you're standing over me, but wow, look what I did. I stepped up and did this because I wanted to show Mom and Dad that I got it and I get it. And let me just say to all the kids, you know, anybody in here like spankings? We're going to talk about spanking in a minute. Anybody like preacher? I mean, that's one thing I kind of look forward to every week is, you know, I'm gonna talk to you kids and show you that I'm going to really show you a way you never have to get another spanking in your life. I'm going to show you a way you never have to get another. How many would like to know the way that I never have to get another spanking in my life? All right. Well, I mean, now's the time. We need to give the invitation right now. We got all those hands up and... Because young people, look right up here and let me help you with something. You know what? Your mom and dad, the last thing in the world they want to do is to have to give you a spanking. I mean that. Matter of fact, as we go through this, you're going to, I think as a child, think back at your parents and think about what they do and realize there's a lot of things they do before they give you a spanking that in order to not have to give you a spanking. Now, I will tell you, we raised three girls, all three of them, different personality types, you know, different all this. And, you know, Hannah was the easiest. I'm telling you, some of you girls, if you're tired of getting spankings, call Hannah, okay? Call my old, because I'm telling you, we're going to talk about the two R's, reproof, you know, and the rod. But, you know, the best way, look right up here, young people, I want to help you. The best way for you to get the favor of God and get the favor of your parents is to learn to respond correctly to verbal reproof. Okay? Because that's how God deals with us, everybody. You know, God doesn't start with the rod. He always starts with reproof. I don't know how many times I've started getting out of line. You know, maybe intentionally, maybe I didn't know it, getting out of line with God. And in my morning devotions, God uses his word to reprove me. Sometimes you'll come to church and the preacher will preach a message. And he, by the way, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Okay, reprove and rebuke. So if those things are part of preaching, then we have to learn to have the right response to correction, to reproof, to instruction. if you begin to have the right spirit towards that, and if your parents use their voice first and reprove you, you need to learn to turn around and humble yourself and say, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, and stop what you're doing, correct what you're doing. If you learn to do that, then all they'll ever have to use is reproof. And you know what? Sometimes I think some of you parents could stand up and say, preacher, you know, there's one of our kids that all we had to do is clear my throat and give them a look, and they'd go to tears. And I mean, I didn't even have to reprove. And they were tender-hearted. You say, preacher, why did you start in the Bible where you started? Listen, folks, before I talk about any of the Bible verses about corporal punishment, I just want you to look at verse number 26 of Proverbs 23. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eye observe my ways. And young people, I'm going to help you with something right now. If you would go home, and you would really give your heart to your mom, and you'd really give your heart to your dad, and I mean the worst thing in the world in your heart and your mind would be to disappoint your dad or disappoint your mom, I promise you, you'll take that same spirit one of these days to your heavenly Father, and you'll realize, listen, all you have to do is just tell me, Lord, if I'm doing wrong, and I'll correct it, I'll fix it. And so the goal is not to spank. The goal is not to have to spank. That's the goal. That ought to be the goal of the child and the goal of the parents. However, if you don't respond properly to verbal correction, and I just want to stop and say this because I don't know what else to say to people sometimes. Folks, do you want me to just disobey the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 4, part of the responsibility of your pastor is to rebuke and reprove and correct. And I've coined this phrase, and it's proving true all through my ministry. You know what? Every church member is a good church member until you have to reprove them or correct them. Then they have an opportunity to become a great church member. But too many people can't handle correction. Okay, if you want me to stop correcting, then I need to stop pastoring. Okay, part of the job of standing behind this pulpit is to bring correction. Well, you should have do it a different way. Is that really the issue, or is it that you just can't handle anybody telling you you're wrong? You were wrong in the way you did that. And if you can't handle that, then me and you probably are going to have a tough relationship because I'm not going to not do my job because there's still foolishness bound up in your heart. Okay? And what I want to tell the young people is this. This is so important to learn in your home because if you think correction's going away, it's not. If you think reproof is going away, it's not. You get a job. You know what? Your boss is going to reprove you one of these days. Hey, girls, listen to me. Your husband at times is going to have to reprove you. He's the leader of the home. Well, you better not do it to me. What's that say? Okay? Listen, you go to church. Reproof and rebuke is part of your pastor's job. I'm going to do my job because I'm going to stand before God one of these days. Okay? I'm doing my job. All right? If you want to respond in a childish way, when I do it, then respond in a childish way. But I'm doing my job, okay? And so, young people, what we need to do is get this in our hearts when we're young, okay? So that you don't have to avoid the spankings of life, because we're going to end there. But the honest truth is, God's going to deal with us the same way. And you may say, I don't care what you say. I'm going to grow up and I'm going to defy authority and I'm going to do my own thing. And I don't care what anybody says or how they say or whatever. And when I'm 18, I'll go out and do whatever I want to. And you'll go outside the umbrella of your mom and dad's authority. And you know what? God will say, all right, you wouldn't listen to human correction. You wouldn't listen to God-ordained correction. Then you know what? I'll have them step out of the way and I'll take over in your life. And so, because God's going to be a good father. All right. Now, let's get down to where we need to get into tonight. All right. So we've done these things, preacher. We've trained and we've taught and we've trained and we've rewarded and we've front loaded this and we've done everything we can. But now what we're dealing with is a child that doesn't understand, has been taught, has been trained. Listen, verbal instruction, practical training eliminate simplicity, but they do not guarantee that the child will be wise. What they do is force him to make a choice, him or her to make a choice. He no longer can say, I'm simple. I don't know the right or wrong of this. I don't know what's expected of me. I don't know what the right thing to do is. When he chooses to ignore or disobey parental instruction, he has chosen to be foolish. A fool, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:5, despiseth his father's instruction. Means he undervalues it. In other words, Dad, you can tell me what you want to. I don't care. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to do things my own way. Okay, that's a direct act of foolishness. Okay, a fool despiseth, undervalues his father's instruction. When our children display foolish tendencies, we as parents must not ignore them, but rather deal with them immediately so that their attitude towards instruction is corrected. Okay, so foolishness, let's deal with that now. Preacher, it's not simplicity anymore, sorry. We've taught and trained. They've done it in the past. They know how to do it in the past, but they wake up on the wrong side of the bed and they decide that day they aren't listening. What do we do about that, okay? Now, foolishness is driven out and wisdom is acquired by Bible correction. The last step in the ladder is purposeful correction. The rod and reproof, matter of fact, let me have you go there. Proverbs 29, verse 15. These would be good verses to mark. I want you to understand that what we're going to teach tonight is biblical. By the way, I'm going to each verse also because this is live streamed. I'm just going to let you know. And you know what? I don't care who out there in society today doesn't agree with me. We are a Bible preaching church. We stand on the authority of God's word. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what the norm is. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says or this psychologist says. We raise children according to the principles and precepts of the Bible. Okay, and so this is a Bible-based way of life, okay? So we see in Proverbs 29, verse 15, look there, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so these are the two R's of correction, reproof and the rod. I want to say to parents, always start with verbal reproof. This is how we would wish for God to deal with us. Hey, I would much rather God talk to me about something, warn me about something, use his word to correct me than him sitting over there with the spanking button just waiting for me to do something wrong so he can zap me, okay? And he's not that kind of a God. And we shouldn't be those kind of parents because he's a loving God and a merciful God and a patient God. So that's where we ought to always start. This is how we wish for God to deal with us. And so if I'm doing something that displeases the Lord, as I mentioned earlier, he uses the instrument of his word. And either through personal devotions, public preaching, you know what? He says out loud to me, what are your doings wrong? And you know it, now stop it. Okay? And you know what? Then God watches. And you know what he does? He hopes that I'll respond properly to verbal instruction. Okay? Now that's what we ought to do with the children. We ought to always start with verbal instruction. Listen to me, parents. Spanking should never be the first option, okay? Always correct first with reproof, okay? The goal is not to spank the child. The goal is to keep from having to spank the child, okay? I mean to the point where if a child gets a spanking, you know what? He has nobody else to blame. She has nobody else to blame but her. Kids, I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're listening. I'm teaching you right now how to never get another spanking in your life. When mom and dad use their voice and they tell you not to do something, you stop immediately, you turn around, you look at them, you listen to them, you apologize to them, and you change your attitude or change your action. And if you'll do that with the right spirit and have a tender heart towards that, I promise you, you probably won't have to get many spankings at all in your life, okay? And so always start out by using reproof, okay? Always correct first with reproof. With reproof, by the way, if you're going to reprove a child verbally, make sure you have the child's attention. So get them to stop what they're doing, have them turn around and look you in the eyeball. And that way, you know, so, well, I told him three times to quit. Well, the problem is you've told him that same three times for 2 years and he's not even listening to you anymore. And so what you need to do is stop. Everything in their life needs to stop at this point. And I don't care what they're playing with, what they're doing. Full attention, come over here, full attention, eyeball to eyeball. Are you listening to me? Do I have your attention? Look right here. What you're doing needs to stop now. And I mean now. Yes, sir? Yes, sir? And have them say, yes, sir. Okay. You understand what I was talking about? Yes, sir. It's going to stop now, isn't it? Yes, sir. Okay. And you know what? Then we're done. Unless, children, you go over and start doing it again. You know, you just passed the gate of mercy. You know, it always ought to start with a verbal reproof, okay? So take a moment to reprove, remind. If you have to in that moment, retrain. If you're not sure, if it's simplicity, just to make sure eyeball to eyeball, let me just double check. What are you supposed to be doing instead of that? Okay, you remember how I taught you. All right, so when I send you back in there, what are you going to do? Okay, very good. 1, 2, 3, go. All right, so now we've dealt with it with reproof, okay? Now, preacher, but you don't understand. My child's demon-possessed, and at times, I did the eyeball-to-eyeball thing. They say all the right things. They look me in the eye. They totally understand, and I told you they had a sin nature. Didn't I tell you they had a sin nature, okay? By the way, so did you when you were a kid. All right, so number two, if verbal reproof is ignored, then you administer corporal punishment. That's the second R. By that, I mean a spanking. Now, I'm a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist preacher, okay? I'm also a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist parent, okay? I happen to believe that God knows more about child rearing than the afternoon TV talk show host, okay, who condemn proper scriptural corporal punishment, and they condemn it as child abuse. It is not child abuse. Okay, considering the fact that most of these Hollywood hosts who consider themselves child experts are actively involved in adultery, fornication, and or homosexuality, it shouldn't surprise us that they do not believe what the Bible says about child rearing either, okay? On the other hand, I also believe that we should strictly follow biblical principles that guide us in this manner. Now, folks, we can't say we're spanking a child because the Bible tells us so, and then ignore the Bible instruction on how that should happen, okay? So here's a question that I a lot of times get from a parent. How do I know when to use a spanking? When do I know it's appropriate, and how exactly should I do it? So listen, I'll give you some good Bible principles, all right? Proverbs 22:15, let's go there. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. Let's first of all talk about, and we need to reiterate this, that we understand the purpose of a spanking. What is the purpose of it? Well, because I'm mad and it makes me feel better. Oh, no, no, no. Listen, parents, no, never, never, never spank a child in anger. I understand you can be displeased at times. Never spank a child in anger, okay? Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So the reason, the purpose of a spanking is this. They exhibited foolishness, watch this. They ignored verbal reproof and warning. And so it's now the second R, the rod. Now the purpose is to eliminate foolishness. That's the goal. As a parent, you know all I want? I want when I reprove you. I don't expect you to be perfect. But when I reprove you and I get your full attention and you understand how serious I am and this needs to stop now and you go right back and go into it again, okay, then you have to understand that is foolishness. It is my job as a parent. It's bound in your heart. I get it. It's bound stronger in some hearts than others. I get it. But you know what? That's the purpose of spanking, is to correct that so that the next time I reprove them, before they decide verbally reprove them, before they decide to go back and ignore it, they're going to remember that there are consequences. Folks, listen, I don't know how, you know, we want an entire world. We literally have an entire world that wants sin without consequences. They are mad when there's consequences to sin. And they think that they'll do whatever they want, and God ought to just sit back and say, well, you know, bless your heart. That is not how God deals with people, and we can't deal with our children that way. So let's be reminded that the purpose of spanking a child is to drive foolishness drive out foolishness, not eliminate simplicity. And I'm going to stop there and just say it one more time. You have to discern in that moment's time whether or not they really, truly understand. If there's any doubt, I'm going to err on the side of, okay, let's go back and Dad's going to go through this again. Okay, but I want you to understand, you need to pay attention. Okay, because I'm not sure whether the problem is you're not understanding or you're not obeying, but we're going to teach it one more time and then you're not going to have an excuse, okay? Because sometimes when they're getting right up, by the way, God has extended a lot more mercy to Jerry Ross than he has chastisement. And so, and God knows my heart, okay? I always, not always see the heart of the child. And I'll take the time. Because you know what the goal is? I don't want to spank him. So I will even assume sometimes when maybe I probably know, I'll go the extra mile, but I'm not, listen. Listen, don't ever, young people, mistake mom and dad's mercy and grace for weakness or their unwillingness to follow the Bible, okay? And so, you know what? If there's, okay, are you not understanding? Let me walk back over. We're going to walk through it one more time, okay? And then listen, because spanking is not a cure for simplicity. It is to drive out foolishness. Now, so sometimes you may have to retrain. However, if your child, as an act of defiance, exhibits behavior opposite of what he knows or she knows is right, then you know what? He's committed an act of foolishness. At that point, you reprove him, stop everything, get his attention, firmly rebuke him. Listen, don't yell. Don't raise your voice. Listen to me. Don't yell and don't raise your voice. You know, I don't have to yell. I'm going to get him right over here. We're going to get eye-to-eye contact. Okay, parents, listen to me. Eliminate the yelling and screaming. That's not benefiting you. Okay, close the thing down, stop everything, get him to come over and make sure you're calm and reiterate it. Make sure they understand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. And then let them know that the eye of the Lord is still watching, all right? And follow through with it. Because if you don't win these battles when they're 2, 3, 4, and 5, you're going to be fighting wars later on in life, okay? And so, now, number two. So, number one, the purpose of spanking is to drive out foolishness, not eliminate simplicity. Number two, a spanking should be a spiritual lesson that allows a child to understand the character of God. I think this is one of the most important things I'm going to say to you. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Why am I going through this process? Because I'm preparing them for real life. I'm preparing them for a relationship with God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Okay, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're not going to defy and disobey principles and precept of God's word if you're a child of God and not have chastisement come into your life. And so to avoid that, you want to make sure as parents that you get that into their thinking. So Proverbs 3, verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord, what's that word? Loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. So why am I going through the spanking process? Because I am spanking, a spanking is a spiritual lesson that allows the child to understand the character of God. God's not going to put up with foolishness when I'm an adult. Mom and dad's not going to put up with foolishness when I'm a child. They're preparing me to have the right relationship with God. And number three, in the same verse there, a spanking should always be motivated by love. We read there, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Now go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, and look, if you will, in verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 24. Well, I just love my child too much to spank them. All right, here's the verse. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So the Bible says this. Well, preacher, you know what? I know they needed a spanking, and I know that's foolishness, but man, I just have a mother's heart, and I just have a father's heart, and I just love them too. No. Don't hide behind that. If you truly love them, then you'll correct them. You know why? because there's consequences for foolishness. Now, I'm going to not go through all of the consequences of foolishness tonight. After we finish the childhood years of Jesus Christ, going through these six attributes, I'm going right into, on Sunday nights, the teenage years of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to teach on all the way through the end. When we get into that matter of increasing in wisdom, I'm going to spend a lot more time going into the scriptures and showing you all the verses on foolishness and the consequences of foolishness. I'm going to summarize them right now. Okay, what if I don't get the foolishness out of my child? What if I allow them to grow up and have this same attitude towards the boss at work and the policeman on the corner? Come on now, what are we seeing in society today? And the teacher at the school, and anybody and everybody else that ever tries to tell them they're wrong about anything, what is waiting for them? I'll give you the short list here. Destruction. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Shame. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Correction. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Our prisons are full of fools. They're full of fools, and they're overflowing. Who really believe? By the way, we have a segment of our in our government that is rewarding foolishness and foolish action. Death. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Children, I want you all to listen to me. True story. You know, why should I listen to my mom when she says stop? Why should I listen to my job when they say stop, come here? You know why? Because your mom and dad is training you for that moment when you're going to be in absolute danger, and they don't have time to explain to you why they're telling you. Well, why? Why? I don't want to, right? Why? And you want them to tell you 3-4 times. Young lady became very rebellious against her mom and dad. I mean, to the point where if they said come, she ran the other way. I'm talking about a young girl, elementary age girl. And you know, one day her mom, she was playing out by the street, and a truck was coming down the street, and she said to her, by the way, she was on the edge of the side of the driveway, not in the street. And her mom hollers her name and says, come to me right now. The girl turned around and ran from her mom and was killed like that by a truck. You know, the Bible says the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And there's a reason your mom and dad, listen, some of you just have this thing in your heart where you're determined that your entire growing up, and this isn't many of you, but you are at a battle of wills against mom and dad. If mom tells me to go left, I'm going to try to go right. If they tell me to stop, I'm going to go. If they make me do something, then I'll do it as long as they're looking. But the minute they turn their back, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you do not know what that attitude could cost you in your life. And it could even cost your life. Okay, so we have destruction, shame, correction, death, judgment. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Punishment, a whip. Think about this verse. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, all right, parent. Oh, I just love them too much to spank them. Oh, you love them so much that you're going to allow them to continue down a foolish path and face in their life destruction, shame, correction, death, judgment, and punishment. No, you don't love your kid. I'll say it again. You don't love your kid. Okay, because if that is the end of the road for a fool, and you don't take care of the foolishness, then you were part of the responsibility for that. I love my children too much to want that kind of a life for them. Let me just say this. You love them too much to spank them. I love my children too much to want that kind of a life for them. I want them to enjoy the blessings that come from a life lived in obedience to God and His Word. That will not happen if I do not do my duty as a parent in helping them to become wise, okay? Now, and we also read in that verse, Proverbs 13:24. I think you're still there. If you're not, I think you can turn there, but I think you're there. Notice here in verse number 24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. As I mentioned above, spanking should be done early or betimes. That's what the word betimes meant. It means early, early on. Now, folks, listen to me. I've listened to some silly teaching when it comes to this. I want to just say it out loud, all right? You know what? You say, can you see a sin nature even develop in an infant? Okay, folks, listen to me. They're simple. And you know what? They don't even understand what a spanking is. I want us to say this. There is some foolish teaching about spanking infants too early. Okay? Now, moms, listen to me. You know your kids well enough to kind of know when a child, even a smaller child, is being defiant, fighting back, kicking back, being, you know, okay. But you do need to use good sense in this. Okay? Have you had a chance to teach them? Have you had a chance to train them? Okay? And I just want to kind of say that because there's men that I think do a good job teaching on this, but then they get into this infant, and I mean, they're spanking kids, encouraging parents to spank kids that are 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I'm sorry, but you're an idiot. Okay? You're an idiot. You're spank happy. Okay? Remember what the goal is. What is the goal of a spanking? Okay? It's to drive away foolishness. Okay? You're telling me that kid has an understanding? Let me tell you what children need in their formative months. They need to be held. They need to be rocked. They need to be loved. My son, give me thy heart. You build that strong mom connection. You build that strong dad connection. Listen, you know why they cry? Because they can't talk. All right? And you know what? If they can't explain to you. And it's really easy for a parent to assume that a child is, well, they're just being this way because they're frustrated, something's wrong, and they can't always tell you what it is. And listen, I mean this. Good Christian parents need to start using some common sense when it comes to this. Now, having said that, it does not take them to get very old in their age. Come on now. I say, boy, you know what? I'm telling you what, kids, your mom and dad spent the first year of your life trying to get you to walk, and then the rest of the time they tell you to sit down all the time, you know? Spent the first year trying to get you to talk, then you're always telling you to be quiet, you know. But you know what? Once they get their little legs under them, come on, parents, moms, dads, you can use discernment in this. It does not hurt a bit when a child becomes, starts to get to that age where, you know what, they do have an understanding. They can learn what no means pretty quick. And if they understand what no means, come on, how many of you parents have watched this? Where a kid is over by something where they know they're not supposed to touch it. What do? They look at you. And they look at that thing. They look at you. And they see you're looking. And you raise an eyebrow. And they look right at you. And they start going like this. I'm sorry. That's not simplicity. I don't care if they are only 10 or 11 months old. Okay. And you, what do you say? You say their name. They look at you. No. And they'll pull the hand back. And then they'll start, come on. There's not a parent in here that hasn't had that moment. And something inside of you says, I don't think this is simplicity that I'm watching right now. Now, do they need you to send them to the room? And no. You know what? You go over and when they touch it, you take their little hand and you smack it. And they'll squall like they are dying. They'll look at you with that look, I cannot believe you did. Oh, believe it, because it's going to happen a lot more probably. Let's establish right from the beginning what this relationship's going to be. Come on, think about it, folks. Let's establish right from the beginning what this relationship's going to be. But listen to me. Listen. Use sense. Okay, it does not take much at all at that age for them to get the master. Let's use sense. Come on. People are sometimes disciplining in anger. That's wrong. That's as much of a sin than what the kid's doing. And if you are one that has a quick temper, come on, you better understand that sometimes between the chastisement, there needs to be a cooling down period. Okay? My dad could get a little hot-headed sometimes. You know what he learned to do? He learned to say to me, Jerry, and y'all could see it. You know, he was like, he'd go to your room. That's really a smart thing for two reasons. It's like putting a kid on death row, okay? Just sitting there and they're going, you're looking at the door, and you know, they're waiting. And by the way, it gives them some time to contemplate, you know, whether or not they're going to get to grow up, whether or not they're going to, you know, what do I have a future? Is this the end of me? And but you know why my dad was wise in doing that? because he knew sometimes it's not that they need the minute, it's that I need a minute. Oh man, I've had my daughter sometimes push my buttons to the point where I was like, you go up to your room. And I had to walk around for 30 minutes. It did them good, it did me good. But you know what? Watch this. It's not just a matter of making sure you have your emotions in check. It really is a matter also of having a time to pray and have a chance to discern what just happened. Is this because of my lack of patience? Is this because, what is this situation? And sometimes what you need to do is go up there and sit down beside them and do some retraining. Other times when it gets to the point, come on, you softies will always think you need to retrain. You guys that are quick on the trigger, or ladies sometimes, you'll think they need to be executed every time. What we need to do is find the heart of God in this, get the mind of God in this, make sure you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I want to say this again, nobody knows your kids as well as you know your kids. And so parents, use some discernment. Always mix a little mercy in with judgment. God always mixes mercy with judgment. You know, sometimes a kid really deserved a spanking, and I feel like the Holy Spirit says, you know what, I want you to punish them in a different way this way. And that will teach them that daddy's showing some mercy. But then, listen, if they go right back and do it the next day, then you know what, it's time to do the right thing, okay? So just be consistent in it, okay? So it should be done early. And so, you know what, I don't know. I'd have to talk to Cheryl. You know, I think by the time, come on, if you handle this right early in life, once a kid gets much past 6-7 years of age, it ought to be a pretty rare thing to spank a child. And some of you kids are saying, I'm writing that down in my notes. I need to. Well, you know what, kids? It's all dependent on you. The honest truth is, by 6-7 years of age, you ought to be smart enough, you ought to love God enough, you ought to want to do the right thing enough so that mom and dad, all they have to is verbally, I told you, I'm telling you right now how to never get another spanking in your life. You change your heart towards your parents. When they verbally correct you, don't you give them an attitude and don't continue doing wrong. You humble yourself, you turn around, you apologize, and you change your action and your attitude. And you know what? If you'll do that when they verbally correct you, you know what? They're not going to need to go to the second thing. So kids, it's kind of, I sometimes look at a kid and say, hey, how rough your upbringing is going to be is kind of on you. Get a tender heart. Obey mom and dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you know what obedience always brings? Blessings. You know what disobedience will bring? Okay, reproof and eventually the rod. You know, one of these days when you're an adult, what obedience will bring from God? Blessings. You know what disobedience will bring? Reproof and a rod. So why don't you just learn it early and give your mom and dad your heart, okay? A spanking properly administered will never threaten the child's health or life. Look at Proverbs 23, verse number 13. Proverbs 23 and verse number 13. Withhold not correction, Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not the correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, society, I want to just say this because, you know, I understand this is going out. And the minute we read the Bible word, beatest him, you know, think about what society has done to that word beat, okay? Society's used the word beat so often in association with child or spousal abuse that we have a tendency to recoil when we see it, even in the Bible. Okay, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, beat him, beat your kid, you beat your wife. You know, okay, that man beats his children. What do you think about? You think about child abuse the minute they say that. So we got to look at the Bible definition. By the way, I think Satan has worked very hard to cause the word to be linked with a criminal act because he knows it's a Bible word. However, we use the Hebrew dictionary in the back of our Strong's Concordance. We can see that the word beat means, listen, to strike lightly or severely, literally or figuratively. Wow. Now that leaves a broad area of interpretation, so we must study the word in the context of its usage because it says to strike lightly or severely. All right, now let's look back at the verse now that we understand that. For if thou beatest him with the rod, what's the rest of the verse say? he shall not die. Now, folks, listen to me. If we use the Bible to interpret the word, then we understand that a child should never be struck in a manner that would cause a child to be injured or would cause a child to die. Okay? And so we apply that on the lightest end. Now think about this. God's created an area on their behind, their buttocks, that has plenty of extra fat and flesh where you can strike a child lightly enough not to cause any injury while at the same time causing the child immense physical discomfort. Okay? Got that? And so the right interpretation is this. Yes, spank them in the right place and spank them in the right way. Okay? It should not be so lightly done that, you know what, it's a joke to the kid. If you're spanking a kid and they're turning around and defying you or laughing at you or smirking at you, you didn't do a good enough job. Because I promise you, when Bob Ross spanked Jerry Ross, my dad spanked me, brother, all I was doing was praying for Jesus to come back, amen. And he did not abuse us. But it was something I didn't want to go through twice. Okay, some of your mamas, you want to be able to tell people you spank your kids, but the honest truth is, all you do is tap them a couple times and make them mad. They turn around, they're more defiant than before. You're not doing a good enough job of it. Okay, because a spanking properly administered can be done in such a way it does not cause any injury and it does not cause death. But I'm going to tell you something, that kid will not want to sign up for it again for a long time. A long time, okay? And so that's what the Bible says. Well, preacher, I still don't know if I believe it's right. Well, then rip these verses out. I mean, you're smarter than God. Rip them out. Yeah, but social services told me. Well, then just rip these pages out of the Bible. All right, do we follow social service? We follow the Word of God. Now, I know, folks, we live in a very, very crazy world right now. And I would say, off record, you know, that you need to be wise as parents. You need to be a little careful as parents as far as how you do this and when you do this and where you do this. Okay? But at the same time, bottom line is, I'm following the Bible. Because I know what's waiting for my child, destruction, shame, correction, death, judgment, punishment. If I set back, a child left to himself causes his mother shame, if I leave them to themselves and then they spend their adult years just falling in one pit after another, one problem after another, one judgment after another, I don't have anybody to look at but myself in the mirror. If I didn't do my job. I want to say this. There's parents that have done their job and that kid still turned 18 and they decided they were going to do whatever they wanted to do. Well, at that point, don't throw rocks at the parents, all right? Okay, so a spanking properly administered will never threaten the child's health or life. Number six, tears of repentance are the desired effect of spanking. Tears of repentance are the desired effect of spanking. Proverbs 19:18, you're close there. We're almost done. Let's go to the scriptures, 19:18. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul, what? Spare for his crying. Okay? This crying should be tears of remorse, not tears of anger or defiance. A child should receive a spanking even if he begins to cry before it's administered. Or every time they start crying, you know, it says spare not for their crying. Man, I learned that trick early. Okay, when I knew Dad was serious and there was no turning back, I just started crying, hoping for mercy. You know, I never got it. And then after he spanked me, you know what they'd say after about 60 seconds? Now stop crying. You stop crying, I'm going to give you something too. I'm telling you. You say, that kind of parenting is ridiculous. It raised a generation that feared God. It raised a generation that knew how to obey the policeman. And did well at work and was promoted because they knew how to respond properly to authority and correction. Made good church members because you know what? They could take correction from the pulpit. Okay? And so let's get back to it. A child's tears should be as much, and this is the last point. A child's tears should be as much from your disappointment as from your spanking. I'm going to go all the way back to where we started, folks, because this is, parents, this is so important. Okay? Do you know why spanking works? Do you know why verbal correction works? My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. And I want to say something to the parents, and I want to say something to the kids, and we'll be done. Listen to me. Every single dad, especially, dads and moms, but every single dad, you need to fight to get and keep the heart of your children. You need to make that strong connection with them. You need to take the time. You need to invest in them. You need to go after their heart. We go out to California, and okay, and AJ and Tabitha. AJ, I'm going to tell you something. He is a master. He has just masterfully, I watch him. He works every day of his life to build that heart connection with his kids. And because of that, you know what? It takes very little, just the change of his voice, and those kids listen. Okay, Gerald does the same. I'm just talking about my family. I don't have a front row seat to your family. Gerald works very hard as a dad to build that strong heart connection with those girls. And because of that, if it gets down to the point where he has to spank one of them, they're crying broken afterwards. You know why? Because they broke daddy's heart. They caused daddy to disapprove from them. And I'm telling you, those kids will take a spanking. I watched my girls do it. And as soon as they get done, turn around and throw their arms around my neck and sob in my shoulder. And if you can get that, that's what the real purpose of spanking is. And kids, listen to me. Watch this. I just told your parents to go hard after your hearts. But you know what the Bible command is there? My son, give me thine heart. Okay? And what you need to do is give your heart to your mom and dad. Okay, don't hold your heart back from your dad. Well, I get aggravated sometimes. I don't always like the rules. Don't hold your heart back from mom and dad. You give them your heart. And when they correct you, if you've given them your heart, you know what? You're going to want to please them. You're going to feel horrible just by disappointing them or letting them down. And when you have that kind of a love relationship undergirding this thing, it works really well. But I've also watched sometimes parents that don't want to invest in getting their heart, and then they want to go for reproof and a rod and wonder why it doesn't work. So go hard after their heart. Take the time. Make the heart connection. Guys, men, I know you're busy. I know what it takes. I watch our men work. I watch all they do just to try to put food on the table and pay the bills, and I get it. I get it. I know what the world's created in America. It's not easy. And I know when you come home sometimes you're just gassed. Take the time to connect with your children as a group, but also take the time to connect with them individually. And sometimes it just needs to be you and that one child. Sometimes a child's going through a tough stretch. You know what you're going to need? You're going to have to work a little harder to reestablish that heart connection with them. But if you keep a strong heart connection, and you're going to find out that the verbal reproof will work most of the time, and the other will work simply because you have their heart.